Hello and welcome to the RJ 777 podcast. Sorry I didn't do a podcast episode last week. Weekend, I should say. You know, Elimination Chamber weekend. Instead of doing my preview show like I would have done. Actually, by the time I got a chance to do the podcast, it would have been the reactions to the Elimination Chamber. But actually, that weekend kind of went through a little bit of a rough breakup. Got dumped. Valentine's date, like the day after, so kind of sucks still. But nothing that I won't get through. It's just, get to that point. And so far, I've gotten to that point. Actually, I've kind of been able to forget about it because of, I'm actually getting ready to move, as I mentioned before. Today, I do help set up a yard sale. It took, like, over five and a half hours, like, just for me to, clear out my room and, room that I'm recording, I had to pack up a lot of that stuff, put it into a room, you know, with a not-for-sale room, basically, and I, oh man, I am so tired, feet are killing me, so, a lot of heavy lifting, so, anyway, missed the trial for Rainbow Six. I downloaded, like, in the middle, not the middle, but, like, a little bit after the trial started. So, yeah, anyway. So, actually, I would have done a, podcast episode earlier as well, had I not been down in North Carolina, looking at apartments and like one or two townhouses, so for the first year that I'm down there, which was fun at the time, but yeah, and now that it's over, it's just like, all starting to hit up at once, you know, like yard sale to get rid of some of the stuff, you know, try to prepare for the move, then preparing for the move, it's just like one right after another, like bang, bang, bang. Oh, man. Moving is a very difficult thing. Especially when you have a lot of stuff. If you don't have a lot of stuff, then it'll probably be a little bit easier. But anyway, so, anyway, big week in wrestling, actually, big couple of weeks, Elimination Chamber, I'm pretty sure there's some new stuff with All Elite, actually, today, some big news, I have no idea what to start with, I guess, before I even get to that, I'm going to be starting a new, like, podcast series. It'll be how I would book. It's what you expect. I'd look at something that maybe not just like WWE, but what they should have done as far as like the booking goes. You know, and now I'm not the first one to do this, and I know I won't be the last, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to do. So I'm going to give it a shot. First one is actually, I'm going to be recording after this, and it will be the, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the, since it's like near WrestleMania season, I was going to a couple years ago was the Bray Wyatt Randy Orton feud. So I'm just like, it started out pretty good, like the build up to it was good, but when the actual feud started, it went a little off the rails. Anyway, so yeah, I think that'll be pretty fun. So anyway, I guess start off with some of the news with the NXT call-ups, then some of the people getting released. Oh, then actually, some of the stuff for 2K20, if I'm not mistaken. Like, some of the new moves in that were being taped for recently. There's one in there. I think it's new. It's like a new design for the design for Sunset Flip Powerbomb. Looks pretty nice. Looks pretty good. Actually, now that I think about it, might be like the version Sami Zayn does. Or a version Sami Zayn does it. I mean, it looks great. Anyway, still beat. So yeah. So recently, they're on Raw and SmackDown of this past week. The NXT arrivals, I guess. A lot of people were saying it was just like a ratings boost, which it probably was. So, anyway. I forgot what I was going to say. Lost my train of thought. So, yeah. With Gargano, Ciampa, Ricochet, and Aleister Black appearing on Raw and SmackDown this week. Like I said, a lot of people are saying it's just like to boost the ratings. Which, okay, yeah, WrestleMania season ratings are down. Sure, pull out all the stops. I mean, it's WrestleMania season for a reason. You know, I gotta say, their, like, debuts, whatever, not bad. A lot of people are saying that this is the this is how WWE is going to, or is going to do the territory system that it's been talked about for I don't know how long now. You know, if that is how they do it, then yeah, have them appear on Raw and SmackDown, and they get that, get some main roster exposure, put some more eyes down on NXT, as well as, like, help them out personally. So, like, with their own careers and that. Yeah, it's not really personally, but with their own careers, you know, because, yeah, they're the ones that are selected to be on, you know, to be part of the territory system for that week or for that month. I'm not sure how often it's going to be that they do this. And it might be, like, once every quarter or, again, I don't know how often that they are going to do it. But still, it's pretty interesting. Hope they kind of shake things up a little bit. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I thought all of them had pretty impressive debuts. Not really. Oh, yeah, this debut. Yeah, overall, I mean, it's not a bad way to start, especially Ricochet, you know, beating up Bobby Lashley. That's pretty good for him. Aleister Black, well, Aleister Black had a better showing on SmackDown. That match against Andrade, that was a great match. That was a great, really great match. That was like a NXT TV main event. That's what I thought, at least. I'm trying to think. Gargano Ciampa being the revival, and then, you know, beat the revival. I'm trying to think what else they did. Oh yeah, beat the bar as well. Both great matches, don't get me wrong. I think their match on SmackDown was better again than Ricochet, Eric Young. Wasn't bad. Honestly, I would preferred to see a different matchup. I mean, not that I don't like Eric Young. I mean, you know, it's great that he's on TV. But at the same time, you know, he's still dropping out, so. Yeah. Let's see, what else happened with the debuts and that? Dang. I think that's about it. Anyway, so just announced today, two big news pieces. First off, three superstars got released. One was confirmed, the other two didn't really come out of nowhere, but still a little surprising. Hideo Tommy has been confirmed by WWE. TJ Perkins got released, you know, winner of the Cruiserweight Classic, then Ty Dillinger. Not gonna lie, I was kind of surprised about Perkins because I thought he was still getting quite a bit of TV time, stuff like that. Ty Dillinger, I mean, they haven't had him on TV for a while, and he's pretty outspoken about that. You know, he's been saying, you know, put me back on NXT and stuff like that. So that one doesn't really surprise me. And of course, now that they're all released, everybody on Twitter is like, oh, they're going to AEW, you know. They're going to be all elite within the next month. Stuff like that. I mean, there's other promotions out there, you know. Dillinger, though, I could see going to All Elite. Perkins, maybe. I don't know, he might be a good fit in Japan's junior heavyweight division. I don't know, though. I mean, I could see him doing well there. I mean, Dillinger, though, with All Elite, he's kind of in a similar build as Zack Ryder, or he was, and I think Zack Ryder would do absolutely great over there, so, yeah, imagine, you know, if Ryder would do well there, then I'm sure Dillinger would do well there. Perkins could also do pretty well over in Ring of Honor. I don't know, I mean, I don't know, Perkins is one of those guys that if he goes to All Elite, then he'll probably get lost in the shuffle. Which, you know, I mean, wouldn't really be that much different. But if you went to, say, actually Impact, I forgot about Impact. Impact, you know, starting to rebrand. Or not really starting to rebrand, but they have been rebranding and doing pretty well with it as well. Like they're now kind of being taken as a serious promotion like they were when they first started, which is great, you know. They have a lot of incredible talent there, so. I did see this one tweet. It was, I think it was Penta. See, the Penta Phoenix, or maybe both of them, I don't know if they share an account. You know, holding up the Impact tag titles, you know, that whole thing. And then, I think it was Nick Jackson did the middle finger emoji. Oh, man, I laughed when I saw that. It was great, you know, like, you know, we're advertising you for our promotion. You know, that whole thing. Well, I guess you explain the joke, it's not as funny, but, you know, anyway, so, yeah, there's quite a bit, actually, now that I think about it. The Roman Reigns gonna be on Raw. Really trying to spike the ratings. I've said this before as well, I was originally a fan of Roman, you know, like 2015 and that, when he was, like, when the whole thing was starting to begin, but, I mean, back then, I was fairly new to wrestling. I mean, before I actually started watching it, the only people that I knew were Edge and probably Cena. It was Edge. Actually, no, it wasn't Cena. Edge and Sin Cara were the only two wrestlers that I knew of before I actually started, like, paying attention to wrestling. Like, watching isn't the right word because I had watched it before. But actually, like, paying attention to it is what I meant to say. And, yeah, I guess ever since I've still been a little bit of a Roman Reigns fan, because, you know, first favorite. Like, your first actual favorite, I guess. Because, like, my first, like, kind of favorite was Edge, favorite wrestler. Just to clarify that. But, yeah, like I said, when I actually started paying attention, then, you know, it was Roman. Which I now know is the unpopular decision. And, you know, I think everybody has that one wrestler that everybody else is like, really, you like him? I really do think everybody has that one wrestler that they like. Like, I don't know, it might be, just trying to think here, Kalisto, you know, or maybe it's, I'm trying to think of, like, some of the other people on the roster. It's like, really, that them. Or not just in WWE, but on the indies as well. I'm trying to think, like, I guess, like, Baron Corbin would be one. Would be another one. But, you know, I mean, you guys know what I mean by that. Yeah, that one wrestler is just kind of like, don't say it. You know, but I mean, you can't help but cheer for him. That's the way it usually goes. So, anyway. That is, actually, I think next Raw is the Ric Flair birthday thing, which I really feel bad for Flair, because, I mean, he's 70 years old, he's already been in a coma, you know, all this stuff, and is still appearing on TV. I mean, okay, I could see if it wasn't so much he, like, WWE offered him, you know, he took the payday, or if it's just kind of like, well, this is part of your contract, you know, that whole thing, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, hold on. Hope the hat wasn't caught. I tried to put the mic away, or pull the mic away. Anyway, I sneezed. Like I was saying, you know, with Ric Flair, I mean, his health condition probably can't be the best. I mean, as much alcohol as he's consumed, and, you know, like I said, with the coma. I guess, like I said, it's one thing if he agrees to it. It's another if they're just like, hey, you gotta do this. You know. So. I And hopefully Becky Lynch interferes. Then Charlotte will probably come out, something like that. That's what I'm hoping happens anyways. See if it actually happens or not. So. Anyway, that is the current rumor. So, let's see. I'm trying to think of, like, if anything major happened on, like, the Raw and SmackDown that before Elimination Chamber, because I'm kind of seeing the Elimination Chamber for, like, the main event, sort of, the last while of this podcast. Velveteen Dream officially winning the North American Championship, NXT North American Championship. Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Probably going to do, going to do Gargano Ciampa again for TakeOver Brooklyn. You know, WrestleMania weekend for the belt this time. Which, yeah, wouldn't be bad. I mean, they've had great matches. They had a little bit of a break. I guess my thing is, if they can make it convincing enough that, not convincing enough, if they can make it, like, so entertaining, where it's just like, not the match itself, I mean, like, the build-up, because this feud has been going on for a while, and, like, off and on, and it's something that people haven't already seen before. It's not something new. So, which, okay, you know, I get that, you know, I understand that point. I mean, the match is going to be great. Like I said, don't get me wrong, the match is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Like AJ Styles. had to go for it. It's just a matter of, like I said, it's just a matter of making it where it's just like, you know, on the men's side, the only match they want to see is that match. If that makes sense. So. Anyway. But yeah, overall, pretty excited for it. Can't wait to see what they do. So, yeah, let's see. Yeah, gotta say, congrats to Velveteen Dream before I move on. So, Elimination Chamber. I mean, that was a great event. I mean, it really was great. I mean, sort of like in the build up to the match, it was just kind of like, well, it could be better. But, I mean, at the same time, what we got was pretty great. So, yeah, I'm not going to complain too much. So, The one thing that if I had to have one and only complaint, it would be the Ruby Riot Ronda Rousey match. Because of how weak that made Ruby Riot look. I mean, that wasn't great at all for her. I mean, losing that fast. I mean, don't get me wrong, I get, you know, wanting to put make Rousey strong and, you know, want to have time for the, whatchamacallit, I can't think of it. For the, man, just lost again for Becky's running. I don't know why I was taking that long to come up with the answer. Or not the answer, but to come up with that stuff. Anyway. So, yeah, it was, I mean, I see why they had that spot and that, I mean, don't get me wrong, what Becky did, absolutely great. It's just, I would rather see it not come at the expense of somebody else, like Ruby Riott. Because the main reason is because that incredibly weakened Ruby. Like, all the stuff that they've been building up gone in an instant, basically. So that's, like, the main problem I have with it. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where you know, it's just, you wish you could change the situation, but you can't. So, just gotta live with it, basically. Anyway, yeah, other than that, Becky Lynch, though, man, she went all out with that, with, like, the kendo stick and all that stuff, or not the kendo stick, the crutch. I mean, she busted, what's her name open? Busted Rousey open, like, bleeding from the side of the head, which is crazy, you know, because, yeah, she must have been hitting Rousey pretty hard then, so, anyway. It's pretty interesting. To have that. I'm trying to think what else to say. And also my train of thought, which is always annoying, not gonna lie. Okay, so let's talk about Rousey. Okay, yeah, I helped out Becky. Charlotte got beaten up. I will say, it annoyed the crap out of me that Charlotte avoided the question. That, I don't know why. It just really annoyed me. Probably don't have that much of a reason to be annoyed. But, I mean, that really annoyed me. So, just wanted to say, for the record, I guess. Because, yeah, I mean, just jobbing out. Yeah. Ruby jobbing out, then Charlotte, who's supposed to be an equal level to Becky Lynch in Vince's eyes. You know. And here she is. You know, I helped out Becky. Helped out. Didn't really have. Well, actually, no, I did help out Ronda because. Because of, because, you know, she did get back up afterwards and all that stuff, so. I did. I mean, not much, I'll admit, but. You know, yeah, take your wins and losses. you can get them. Alright, yeah, take your wins where you can get them. So, let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, the Usos won, and I couldn't be happier. Oh, I'm so glad that Shane and Miz finally are done as champs. Fastlane, they're gonna break up probably in the WrestleMania match, and then it'll all be over. And then Shane will find somebody else to sweat over. Oh, jeez. But for now, after that feud, the sweatless one will probably not wrestle. So, for a little while at least, until the next one, next WrestleMania or whatever. But at this point, it's just kind of like, you know, anyway, so trying to think here, what else happened? Elimination Chamber. While I still remember, anyway, Alright, so starting match was the So you start off with women's tag titles. Oh, before that though, Buddy Murphy retained the Cruiserweight title, which, you know, nobody really expected to see that title change. If you did, sorry to disappoint you, but anyway. Bayley and Sasha won, which isn't really all that surprising. I think everybody expected to see that. Because, you know, they start off with a big face win, as they usually do. So, jeez, I lost my train of thought again. Sorry, I'm trying to multitask. So, I'm trying to set up like this. I'm trying to do new universe mode as well as do this. So, anyway. So, Bayley and Sasha won. Opening match wasn't that bad. I gotta say, though, I really don't like the chamber. I like the match. It's a great stipulation and all that stuff, but I don't like it as much since they took out the false count anywhere aspect of it. Like, to me, that was a great part of it because you're more likely to see some of these insane spots now after I roll them in the ring. And to me, that takes out some of the momentum, or is that the right word? Yeah, I guess momentum would be, sorry, would be the right word, you know, or like the impact of the move, you know, you take some of that away by, when you have somebody okay, for example, Alexa Bliss with that splash off the top, that was great, you know. Wasn't bad, but I got off the top of the chamber, you know, then to Sasha Banks, who was on the outside, had to transition into the bank statement, but had to get her inside the ring. To me, that just took some of it away, you know. It was something that I personally wish They, something that I wish that they would have taken out. Because, you know, Sparkle Splash or Twisted Bliss. Oh, man, I was watching an old What Culture video where, and they brought it up how Twisted Bliss used to be called a Sparkle Splash. So now, I just got that kind of like stuck in my head. So, anyway. But I mean, it's the moments like that where, you know, it seems like they're trying to take out, which, or it's, I guess what I'm trying to say is the stuff that bugs me. Is the, what I'm trying to say is, like I said, like, the stuff that bugs me with that is, like I said, you're less likely to see those kinds of spots. Because they took out the false count anywhere. So, okay. Tag match, right? Nia got taken out of the pot. Bailey could have covered her if it had been false count anywhere. And therefore, you know, taken out sooner. I did like the spot where they all piled on Tamina after everybody hit their finisher. I'll admit, I did like that spot. I thought that was a great spot. But, it wasn't really the right spot, if that makes sense. Because you have sorry. You know, it's the whole thing about it's just not as exciting, is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's not, and it sucks to say that, because it is the truth, you know, I mean, honestly, can any of you guys tell me, like, the last time when out of all of those, out of the recent, Elimination Chamber match, like, not the 2017, but after that, was there a spot in there that you really enjoyed that could have either been improved with the false count anywhere stipulation still in there? Could that moment have been more exciting? Could the match have been more exciting? Like, this is stuff I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say, like, it's still not a good match. It's not a good match. It's still a good match. That's what I meant to say. Like I said, it's still a great match. fact that it's the fact that they took out a lot of great moments, like the opportunity for a lot of great future moments. I mean, for crying out loud, had, I don't know, like, say, I'm trying to think here. Alright. So, here. Once again, lost my train of thought. Not proud of that. So, yeah. I'm done with that whole spiel, whatever you want to call it. And it may have been absolutely great. I enjoyed it. The one thing I don't like is how Samoa Joe was eliminated first. That was one of my only problems with the match. Everything else was great. Jeff Hardy Swanton Bomb to AJ, like, off the top of the pod. To AJ, like, lying on the turnbuckle. Absolutely great. The ending with Brian and Kofi. Like, all the drama that they put into that match. They booked that match so well at the end. It was just all that suspense. I, like, genuinely didn't know. When Kofi got out of the Yes Lock, I thought that, I thought Kofi was gonna win, I'm not gonna lie. But then, of course, he didn't, which, okay. But, you know, still great match. You know, pretty much everybody felt like they belonged in the match. Or not belonged, but felt like there wasn't really an odd man out of that match, is what I'm trying to say. Like, everybody played a part in the match, and they played that part very well. Anyway, so, like, overall, these past 2 weeks in wrestling haven't been that bad. Finn Balor, new Intercontinental Champion, as well, beat Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush in the handicap match. I don't like how they didn't really go anywhere between Lashley and Rush with that storyline that they kind of set up. Unless they just kind of put that in delay. I would have liked to see Lashley do the same thing on Raw. You know, I would have liked to see that. But, you know, still was a great match. With that tag match with Ricochet and that. So it's pretty good. And yeah, overall, not that bad. Not a bad week. Anyway, thank you guys for listening in. Sorry to rush at the end. I'm almost out of time. So I just kind of quickly roll through stuff. You're losing your train of thought. really puts a delay on things. Anyway, so thank you for listening. Like I said, after this, I'm going to be doing the, doing the How I Would Book, starting that series. So, hope you guys can tune in for that. If not, yeah, fine. Everybody has their own booking opinions. So, again, thanks for listening in. And hope you enjoyed it. See you. Okay, so I'm actually just going to add this to the episode instead of doing a whole new thing. It's just going to be a new segment. It's going... Oh, crap. I forgot about the whole question thing. I don't know. Question thing didn't really go anywhere. But I feel like this could... I'm still kind of liking that experimental thing. Experimental phase with the podcast, so... Anyway. So, starting this thing off is a more recent booking atrocity. That was the Bray Wyatt Randy Orton feud that went into Mania and a little bit after as well. And they messed this up so bad. Their match at WrestleMania was one of the worst matches of the year. And then their House of Horrors match. I mean, that was just weird. But, okay, so how I would book it differently. Is, honestly, like, up to... Elimination Chamber. I would keep all that stuff the same. I would still have Wyatt win the title. I would still have Harper and Orton. I would have all that. I would have the tag titles. What I'm going to do is book from SmackDown after the Elimination Chamber to Payback. That is the story that I'm going to be booking. Everything else, I would keep the same. So, what I would have, instead of, like, the whole burning Sister Abigail down, that whole thing, that was great. You know, it was something that you don't really see that much in the PG era. So, that stuff I would keep. But I would change the story a little bit. Instead of... Okay, you still have that fraction between Harper and Randy Orton. You have the match, like, whoever loses is expelled from the Wyatt family. Of course, Orton wins. So then, what I would have is Wyatt and Orton, you know, Wyatt kind of like drunk with power, you know, new WWE champion. It's like, you know, didn't get another shot at the tag titles. So they challenged for the tag titles like that night, you know. That'll be the opening promo, challenge for the titles that night. But Orton does something, screws him up. So then she's kind of like, or Wyatt's just like, you know, taking a little bit of a note of that, like, Orton is the one that cost him the match against American Alpha, you know, people being for the belts. And I'm pretty sure they were still the champs then. I'm pretty sure they won that match then. Oh, when did the Usos beat them? Because I'm pretty sure the Usos beat, and then that started a New Day versus Usos, that whole feud. for the summer. Which, don't get me wrong, that was a great feud. Honestly, there isn't that much of a change in that. But anyway, so you have American Alpha, like I said, versus the Wyatts. And Orton Bray. So, have that match, have Orton cost him. And then, like I said, have Bray kind of like take a little mental note, like not, like have him notice, like make it, like not scream out like, hey, you know, it cost me the match. But like make it noticeable that Wyatt knows Orton cost them the match. And this is how I would kind of, like, start the story. Like, start the problems between the two instead of Orton just, like, I was using you, Bray, and all that stuff. Or I was never really part of the family. You know. For the most part, I would get rid of it. But, like I said, I would keep Orton burning the Wyatt compound, like setting that on fire. Then pretty sure he did like the signature pose at the end of that. I would keep that, but that would be again a little bit before Mania when it took place. It's just a little bit of a different story going in. So, anyway, so you have them, have Warren cost the titles, then after that, like next week, have Wyatt come out and say, yeah, we lost, you know, the whole, but in a cryptic way, basically, like the main message of the promo, like, yeah, we lost, but I'm still the champ, you know. And then, actually, I have Cena come out, demand his rematch. And then I would have AJ come out, set up that triple threat match that they had. Like, I'd have that triple threat match, because that was a great triple threat match for the WWE title. Again, main event. Because SmackDown doesn't have another pay-per-view. You know, Raw has Fastlane, then WrestleMania. So. Anyway. So you have that triple threat, and this time. Oh, wait. Actually, no. Not the triple threat. You have Cena, Orton, and AJ fight the winner. Face Wyatt. Orton's in there as Wyatt's safeguard, you know, the protection. Yeah, Orton's in there to make sure that neither Cena nor AJ win. But what happens is this is like Orton's gonna start screwing up. And then leads to leads to Ray turning on Orton. So what happens is you still have that triple threat match, because like I said, that was a great triple threat match between Bray, AJ, and Cena for the WWE title. Still have that. Oh, wait. But now the question is, okay, how do you get there? Well, I'll tell you. So you have Cena at the, probably AA. Then AJ probably got, like, knocked down or something like that. And it gets back in, and it's a double pin, so therefore they both, Cena and AJ, both go on. And then Wyatt comes out, just looks at Orton, just like stands over him. And SmackDown goes off the air, roll 205 Live. And that's how I would end that SmackDown. So then next week, you have the problems start to be addressed. So, have Wyatt, you know, basically come out and say to Orton again, this is all like, I still have Wyatt do his whole cryptic thing, but the main heart of that promo, it would be Wyatt saying to Orton, you know, you cost me that title, or not you cost me the title, you failed me in that match, you know, now it's triple threat instead of what should have been a walk in the park for me. You know, something like that. So, you know, have Wyatt win, but Wyatt tells Orton, stay in the back. So, you know, Orton agrees. But then Orton comes out. And basically, Orton's just being Wyatt's bad luck charm. So, there's gotta be a reason, right, for her, all this stuff. To be taking place, right? So, what I would have happen is on the next week, after Orton Wyatt celebrate, that's when you have some more problems. They have a tag match against Cena and AJ, because they're still kind of like in that whole feud. Not really a feud, but you know, they're still, you know, trying to work everything out, basically. So, what I would then have is I would have Orton take the loss. Like, what I would have is AJ against Orton, you know, in the tag match main event, because, you know, why's the champ? Can't have him not in the main event. He's the world champ. So, have Wyatt looking strong. And they have Randy looking a little bit weaker. So, Randy goes for an RKO out of nowhere, but doesn't hit it. Yeah, goes for RKO. AJ catches him with the Pele kick, tags in Cena. Cena hits an AA, and then tags AJ back in, you know, because it's Randy Orton. You know, they think, yeah, you know, it's Randy Orton, you know. Better. Should probably, you know, do some more damage, so AJ gets tied back in to hit a phenomenal forearm. So you have that, and you know, Randy gets pinned by AJ. So then, after the match, Bray gets in the ring, just looks down at Orton again, shakes his head, picks him up, Sister Abigail. Now, the betrayal hasn't happened yet. This is just punishing Randy for losing, for costing Wyatt again, basically. So, you know, Wyatt trying to, you know, send a message to Orton like, hey, don't screw around, okay, basically. So then, next week, let's see, so week four, yeah, for like 8 weeks to book this. Oh, yeah. So start off, just trying to keep track of all this. So, let's see, so the first week is the rematch with American Alpha. Then the first triple threat, then the second triple threat. Now the tag match. So yeah, 4 weeks so far. Alright, so next week, have Wyatt come out with a promo. Basically, you know, comes out and says, you know, says to Orton, you know, Orton's always coming out with them, basically, except for that one title match. Because he was bad luck. Yeah, that whole thing. Anyway, so Orton again comes out with him, and Wyatt's saying, you know, you've cost me another match. One more time, you're done. You know, basically saying like, I'm in a position of power, you're not gonna cost me that whole stuff, you know, that whole spiel, whatever you want to say. Then Orton looks at him, then looks at the belt. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, I understand. Then starts looking at the belt. It's kind of like, I think I want the belt. You know, you know, you start that hint of, yeah, this is where you plant the seeds, basically. So, so then, after that, you know, Orton basically has to prove himself, so he has a match. Orton this time wins, instead of loses. So then, next week, week six, and this is where, you know, I'll start to pick things up. So, basically, you know, you see Orton eyeing up the belt a little bit, and then Wyatt has a match against, I don't know, AJ, I guess. Well, AJ's still doing the whole Shane thing. Shane's just like, hey, you gotta check your attitude. You gotta match with Bray Wyatt. Non-title match. It's non-title match. So then, so Wyatt barely wins. Like, it's a real fight to the death. Not hardcore. And then afterwards, Orton gets in the ring, you know, kind of helps Wyatt up. Then RKO. Orton turns, gets on the mic and says, I'm tired of your crap. You're the one pulling me down. I'm not pulling you down. And just throws the mic at him, you know, something like that. So you have that. And then next week you have Lauren burn it down. And this is just her WrestleMania, just to make that clear. Because once you get to WrestleMania, then you can start like intensifying the feud even more to not a House of Horrors match. I would have something along those lines though. So after Warren cuts that promo and all that stuff, burns the house, then she says week 7, think got like one more show before Mania, and then that's where I would have Wyatt come out, basically say, you know, you want the match, you got it, you took something from me, I'm gonna take something from you. Then takes out, actually, this is where the story gets a little bit darker. Wyatt, like, goes backstage, he kidnapped Bob Orton, and then he takes it out and says, this is mine. You will never have it again. Just like your father will never have the belt. And just smashes him with the belt. Like turns around. Wham. Maybe show some blood. I know that's kind of drastic. But I mean, you don't have to be impactful. I mean, like, even have like that whole swinging light bulb. Like, have that moment. Like, have that in the room. Why it goes backstage to. Like, have that stuff. Where. You know, still have it creepy, but, like, not as mystic. Like, take out the magic crap and just have Wyatt be merciless, like, sadistic. Like, serial killer, sort of mental, that whole thing, like, have that, and cut the crap with the magic, so, then you have that, you have, then, you know, it's revealing, you know, Orton was watching the whole thing, he's hunting Wyatt down, he's hunting his father down, not, like, to beat up his father, like, he's hunting him to, you know, get him out of Wyatt's mental room, basically, like the whole mental escape thing, whatever you want to call it, to get him out, basically, free him, rescue him, whatever. So while Ernst's looking around, you know, he runs into Harper. Forgot about him. I mean, honestly, I didn't forget him out. Just kind of like, it's just more of, he didn't really fit into the story that much. So, basically, this is, gotta get another triple threat. Harper basically goes, I know where he is, but I want in the match. So, of course, Orton's like, you know, I can't guarantee anything, you know, I don't make the matches and all that stuff. And then Harper, you know, basically goes, you know, got the permission, or I got the approval, just need your permission, or some crap like that, I don't know, like, have it be so Harper wiggles his way into the match, so he can get revenge on Orton for casting him out of the Wyatt family. And he can get revenge on Bray because it was Bray's idea to bring Orin in. You know, that whole thing. So you have that. So then a triple threat set up, you know. Long time coming of storytelling. So then triple threat match at Mania. Wyatt retains by pinning Harper. And you don't have any of the voodoo crap. So then, alright, so then we got, I think it was like 3 weeks. So we got 3 shows of SmackDown. Harper's just like, okay, why you beat me first? Or you beat me? Set back on the line. And at this point, Wyatt is going mental. You know, basically, like, I'm not saying, like, you have them say these things. I'm just saying, like, have that attitude. Like, some, like, if I say, you know, like, they'll cut the promo saying yada, yada, yada. Then, okay, but, like, for some of the stuff, like, they want, that would hurt their character if they said stuff like that. Like, just have them have that attitude, like, okay, yeah, don't want to mess with you. You already beat me. I'll go back of the line myself. You know, stuff like that. Like, actually have, like, whenever Wyatt's walking down, like, have people, like, scared out of their minds. Like, have them look absolutely terrified. Have them look absolutely terrified. Even when there's nothing creepy, like, he's just walking. Like, have them basically losing their minds out of terror. Again, not because of the magic crap. Get rid of the magic crap. And just because Wyatt is now that mental, he's that unhinged. I mean, since basically it had to be like the Wyatt compound, Sister Abigail, and all that stuff was basically kind of like holding him back. Now that that's gone, you have mental Wyatt. So basically, you know, they have that backstage thing with Harper, like Harper's backing off, like, yep, you beat me, you know. You beat me, I don't want to deal with you. You know, the whole thing. So then Wyatt goes out to the ring and says, Orin, we're not done yet. I still have to pin you. And again, Wyatt is still the champ. Wyatt doesn't lose to Orin at Mania. That doesn't happen in this story. So then Orin, yeah, does a whole thing where he acts like he's coming out the ramp, but no RKO out of nowhere. And basically, you have it set up where Orin doesn't say anything. He doesn't get on the mic, anything like that. He just goes out there, RKO's right. Holds up the title. That's it. Next segment. So, the next week, you have Wyatt come out saying, you know, what was that? You know? I'm the WWE champion. You can't be doing that to me. You know, stuff like that. Again, not those exact words. Because it's Bray Wyatt. That's, like, the core message of this promo. So then, what I would have is, Orin comes out again, you know, goes for that RKO spot again, but this time, Wyatt knows what's coming. Actually, like, just slams him down. Like, kind of like a Uranagi whenever he's going for the RKO, but just kind of transitions it into a Uranagi. And says, something kind of cryptic. You know, and then, like, see you at payback. You know, something like that. Like, Let me make it so. That, you know, basically, still got to set up. What my ideal is to have the match of Payback be False Count Anywhere instead of that House of Horrors crap. Again, with this story, you take out most of the magic and just make Wyatt unhinged, like mental crazy. Like, again, take out the magic and just make Wyatt more deranged, more dangerous. So then, to get to the False Count Anywhere match, you need to start setting up something for, something for, whatchamacallit, something for the False Count Anywhere match. So, why after he says, like, see a Payback, actually, doesn't go to the back, that's not the end of the segment. Gets out of the ring, grabs a steel chair, and also grabs a table, or not a table, he will grab something else, right? He'll have the championship, actually no, he'll have two chairs. So, he's got two chairs. So then, it starts. It has two chairs. So, that spot where the wrestler puts their neck in there, he'll do that. Like, put Orton's neck in the chair and just take the other chair and just whack it, like just mercilessly. Attack Orton with the chair, you know, like whacking the other chair, you know, whacking his back, you know, takes the championship, pretty much just shoves it in his face, you know, saying, you will never hold this again, you know, stuff like that, and just, again, have it be mental, like an all-out attack, like, have it be so bad, and this is a bit of a stretch, but have it be so bad that, like, people are actually having to look away, because that, in my mind, that is what you need to do to really build up the heat. Like, have this be just a bludgeoning, basically. And again, I'm not sure, you know, it's PG era, so not sure what all they could get away with. I don't know why I said again, but so the Go Home Show before Payback. So anyway, you have that. Then, after you have like that attack, like actually have security come out and break it up, and I don't know, maybe have like Shane or Dana or Brian, somebody come out there and say, like, even though this is all part of the script, like, have them create that illusion that, like, they can't even control Wyatt. Like, have it be like, we apologize for that. Like, maybe not broadcast it, but something like, we apologize for that. We didn't think things would get that heated. And we never expected Bray Wyatt to get that crazy. We didn't expect that level of an attack from Bray Wyatt. You know, something like that. Something along those lines. Like, basically, they're not really exposing everything. But at the same time, you know, they're still, you know, apologizing. Because, I mean, in my mind, like, have it be absolutely brutal. So. So, after that, then you have Warren back in the trans room. You know, it's just saying, like, you can still wrestle Payback, but, I mean, you can't wrestle until then, you know, that usual stuff. And then, that's when, that's the end of that. Then, next week, that's when you have Wyatt saying, that, in my mind, is when you would start having, set up for the false count anymore. Like, you already did set up for a hardcore match, but, maybe while I was backstage, I'd just have, out of nowhere, lights go out, lights come on, Bray Wyatt's there. Yeah, I know, like I said, get rid of the creepiness, but, I mean, it is still part of the character, so still should probably take advantage. Like, they're backstage, let's go out, let's go back on, what? Yeah, that whole thing. Then Wyatt, Sister Abigail, to Orton, but, onto equipment box, so it looks a little bit more brutal. Would have that. Then afterwards, I have Wyatt say you will see me at Payback, and then that sets up false count anywhere, and basically at Payback, just have classic ECW sort of levels of hardcore. Wyatt unhinged and Orton wanting to get some revenge as well on Wyatt, because if you remember, Wyatt is the one who was attacking Orton because, Orton lost a couple times. But to Wyatt, that was unacceptable, so. So then, at Payback, I would still have Bray Wyatt retain. Then, I know Jinder can only contender, but what I would have instead is, I would actually have a face win that match, then Wyatt beats them, and then, so this would actually shorten Jinder's title reign, but actually now Orton would have to win a Payback. We still have a dominant threat of Bray Wyatt, and if you have Orton would have to win a Payback because Jinder wanted a backlash. You can't have heel versus heel because Jinder would be number one contender. And I was just booking to Payback, so yeah. Orton wins a Payback, Face wins the final match of the feud. And then you have Wyatt go after somebody else. Just have Wyatt crave a championship, basically. That's what I would have. Maybe he goes after the United States title. I don't know. Like I said, something like that. Just have him after Payback. Then you have Wyatt next on SmackDown just attack somebody out of the blue. Set up a feud that you wouldn't expect. Maybe Bray Wyatt versus AJ Styles or Bray Wyatt versus Sami Zayn. Something like that is what I would have for Wyatt. Or still kind of a high-level feud, but maybe not involved with title. I don't know. I do like the idea, though, of Wyatt, you know, just craving a championship. So maybe he does attack AJ. I don't know but why, but for this booking video, I'm just, like, obsessed with triple threats. You know, Backlash, triple threat for the United States title. Maybe have Wyatt come up short. Like, maybe don't have him get pinned in that triple threat, but, you know, have him still lose the match. You know. So, that is how I would establish Wyatt. Because after that feud really hurt him. Even though, yeah, he did win the WWE title. So, yeah, he did win the WWE title, but that feud really hurt him, especially that WrestleMania match. Hopefully, by adding Harper, it makes it a little bit better, and by cutting the magic out of that match. So, the end game is make Wyatt strong, still have to have Orton win, but ultimately have it not be so damaging and have it be more of a captivating story is what I was trying to do. And honestly, in my mind, that would work. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. And I will see you guys for the next podcast episode. Thanks for listening in. Hope you enjoyed it.